Until we pray. Heavenly Father, we're very happy to be in this house of God. We appreciate you giving it to us, for worshiping you and for studying your word, for preaching those things, teaching those things which we know from vindicated word to be the truth. And we're a part of it. We're grateful for that, Lord. We thank you for realization, not something which is down the road, though indeed there is much down the road, but for present momentary realization that we are in you and you are in us and we have become one, uniting time going on. And these things, Lord, we are not unaware of. We are actually a part of them. And how could the hand be a part of the body and not be aware of the body, aware of the life? So, Father, we stand in this place this evening hour of full assurance of faith, and we're grateful for it. We commend ourselves unto you, the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to get into the third Exodus, and let's see, we'll be back here on page 27, which is just going back a little bit to start, and before we get into reading further, we'll just make a little recap, a little background here, what we're into, and we'll take about 5 points. Point number one, Israel was in Egypt and in disfavor. That's the first point. They were down there groaning and complaining and in hardship. Number two, a promise of return to the promised land was now chronologically at hand. The 400 years was up when God said they'd be down there and then they'd be brought back. Number three, the cup of the Amorites concerning iniquity was not quite full, but it would be. And that had something to do with them coming out. In other words, the purpose of God in the Exodus could not be fulfilled until there was a certain place of unrighteousness that he had to deal with. Now, number four, God needed one man fully yielded and in his hand to show God and his word to be alive. Don't forget that one. Number five, it is the hour of the revelation of truth. Truth must be known and triumph over the intellectual, because that's what he mentioned. God must re-educate with God's own thoughts, Moses himself. And then Moses must come against his own brother by adoption, which would be the Pharaoh of that hour, because they were brothers by adoption. So you can see these truths that were given to us by the prophet so far in the third Exodus. And as we go into the parallel of this hour, the Exodus of the bride, remember, Exodus is rapture. Now, you might not have been thinking that, but it is. See, coming out of Egypt was a part of the Exodus. Coming out of Babylon is a part of the rapture. Come out of her, my people, absolutely is what we're looking at. All right? What I read, these 5 points, that sets the parallel for the hour of the Exodus of the bride into the millennium via the rapture. Number one, this must be the hour of promise of the resurrection and the rapture. This is the hour. Number two, the bride must come out of Babylon. Number three, the cup of the Amorites, or organization, must be full. Intellectualism and organization must have come to the place where they can establish themselves where they want to establish themselves. Just like Israel wants to be a nation in the homeland, the church wants to take over. That's why Israel hates the Catholic Church and the Catholics hate Israel, because their purposes cross each other. Number four, there has to come the prophet Elijah. Five, the confrontation of truth against error before the God-incarnated Christ meets the Antichrist, which he will. There has to be a confrontation even here with truth and error before truth becomes thoroughly impersonated. That's not the right word, but it's good enough. It actually means that truth is immortalized, or it is humanized in human flesh and comes against down here on earth the error, which is also now literally humanized, takes on a personage. All right, we're at the point of page 27, and we are into the description of the battle of truth against error, God against Satan, the true prophet against the false prophets, religion against Christianity, and so on. And again, we'll be taught by Old Testament illustration in the third Exodus. And we must never forget Exodus is the rapture. So we're going to begin to read in a conversation where Brother Branham had with a Roman Catholic. And he said, and I said, this man said, Billy, I come to hear you preach, but I disagree with you. And I said, the only way that you can prove that your disagreement is logical is prove it by the Bible. He said, the Bible has nothing to do with it. I said, to you it might not, but to me it's all to do with it. See, it's the Word. He said, don't you think that a bunch of ecumenical minds sitting together could be more right and being sure of being right than just one little uneducated fellow like yourself? Now, this, of course, is the apex of the face of the man. See, they had their way as brilliant students, God-fearing, tremendous students, that were absolutely as much as possible one with the Word in their hour. But everything goes to seed. And you notice that consequently, as it goes to seed, the multiplicity of the wrong seed is usually more manifest than the little minority of the true seed. Now, you must remember the two seeds, the two vines, are coming along at the same time. And there's a ripening process. Now, Brother Branham said the little bride's pretty green. She's got to lie in the sun. Well, the weed out there's pretty green, too. The tares, they don't even know what's going on. Suddenly, when a certain thing hits them, boom, like that, you watch them start to mature. You see, let's be not babies anymore, brother, sister. We're past that. We're past the milk stage. See? I said, well, he said, what business you got to say anything against our church when there's been down through the ages? When they had the first church council, as you spoke of there one night, we heard the church ages of the ecumenical council gathering in Nicaea, Rome, and formed the Roman Catholic Church. He said, don't you know there was 1,000 men of the Spirit, and God sent men into that council? And don't you think that their minds would be more subject to know the will of God than yours down here after God has proved through 2,000 years that that church is right? They think, of course, that might make right, doesn't, except if you're God. I said he never proved it. If that church is the church of God, let us see it bring forth like the first church did then. Let us see it produce the things that they did at the first place. When even the Bible says that even not one little jot or tittle shall fail from it. And he said, whosoever shall take one word away from this or add one to it, his part will be taken out. Whether it's ecumenical council or whatever, it's from the book of life, he's finished. In other words, no matter if a council takes it out or one person, it's gone. He said, Billy, you're just erratic. And I said, then I guess one time in the great dignity of Israel, when they separated like the Protestant and the Catholic has today, Israel wanted to remain Israel. I said, we find out they had a king named Jehoshaphat, a righteous man who tried to keep the laws of God. They had another one over there named Ahab, who married a woman, politics, trying to get friends and make another nation, friends with another nation, married one of the daughters, Jezebel, and brought her among the people of God, same thing we're doing. And bringing in, and she became a ruler. Make Ahab say this and make Ahab say that, same thing you're doing now. That's the woman forced her opinion on Ahab. And I said, the showdown came. They wanted to unite both churches together, as they're trying to do now. And to Ahab, even as Jehoshaphat, the organization man said, yes, that'll be fine. Your people are my people. We're all Christians. We're believers. Let's get together. Now, you know, Jehoshaphat was with Judea, about the 2.5 tribes, and Ahab was with Israel, the larger group. And Ahab proposed a union. And Joshua said, well, that sounds pretty good. And so but when he got to the showdown, a literal joining, he said, don't you think we ought to go to prayer about this? We ought to consult the Lord. And Ahab said, yes. So Joshua said, I'll tell you what, let's find a prophet of the Lord. But you see, Ahab had a system that he thought was of the Lord. Now, he thought it was, see. He said, I got 400 prophets schooled and trained. And they claim to be Hebrew prophets, just like the ministerial group tries to claim they're of God. And they brought them out and asked them a question concerning the outcome of the battle. And every one of them got together, united just like the ecumenical council does today, and they come up with the question. Go up when the Lord is with you, for that land truly belongs to us, and push the Syrians out, or the Philistines, push them out, because the land belongs to us. That sounds reasonable, but you see, they forgot a certain portion of the word. And the portion of the word was, if you begin to idolatry, you're going to lose your church. See, they just took part of the word. Now, when you take part of the word, and leave the curses out, which sounds very nice, and you bless yourself in the name of the Lord, it doesn't mean the blessing's going to come. See, now they had it all figured out, and the ecumenical council says, now we'll all get together, and this will all work out just right. But they forget what the Bible says. You join house to house and land to land and this and that. And Israel was not numbered amongst the nations. They don't like, you see, you can't tell them that. See, it sounds very reasonable. See? But yet down in the heart of Joshua it didn't sound right. And he said, I know you've got 400 well-trained ecumenical ministers there, and they're all with one accord. Even made a pair of iron horns, you know, and demonstrated, thus said the Lord, we're going to push them out. But couldn't we just find another one? And Ahab said, let not the king say so. The politician in Ahab said that. Let not the king say so, because these are trained men. I've trained them myself. That's it. Said, that's it. I've trained them myself. But there is one more, and I hate him. See? Said, that's Micaiah, the son of Imlah. But I hate him. He's nothing but a renegade among them. He's always bawling them out. Always telling me I'm wrong. And look at my kingdom. Yeah, look at it. What a mess it was in. Look at your denomination today, having a form of godness and denying the power thereof. But you see, will they seek a prophet? No way. What they do? Direct back to the brains of man, which is the face of the man gone to see. See, the oil leaked out. Now, a man, if the oil is leaked out of him, he ain't none but a renegade. I've always said that if I always want to kid somebody and really be kind of nasty in a kind of a nice way, I said, that boy is a cross between a backslidden Pentecostal preacher and a used car salesman. Now, brother, I want to tell you, that doesn't tell you something. You know, listen. Just leave the building, please, and just snore so I know you're really asleep. That ought to tell you something. Now, but they wouldn't inquire for a prophet. Look at your nomination. What a mess. Denying the power thereof. Oh, you may be a million more and a thousand times better trained men, but where are you in the spirit? Now, here's the point. Remember, there are two spirits. And the Spirit of God only answers to the Word. Remember, gifts have one spirit. Gifts are genuine. They are energies or manifestations of the Spirit. No problem. When it comes to two spirits, the Spirit per se, there are two spirits. One abides by the Word and will take the Word instantly. The other walks on. But it'll turn to gifts. So don't ever get, you know, loused up in your thinking, please. I'm repeating what I brought out last Sunday. But where are you at in the Spirit? Where is your strength at that was in Samson when he stood there, as I said the other day, with all his big framework and every fiber in there, but no life in him? The Spirit left him. He was helpless. Little kid leading around, blinded eyes because of some woman. Same as the churches today led by politics, bishops, elders, all kinds of stuff. Men pulling straws to get something in your hat and everything. Well, in other words, he reduced it to where people say, let's, you know, what's along the straw? Who'll do what? Never mind if the man's got an office or not. Just put it down to some stupid thing. Where are we at? So when we come to this spot, they sent God Imlah, or not Imlah, but Micaiah, the son of Imlah, sent and got him. And he prophesied and told him that Ahab would get killed if he went up there. And that archbishop smacked him in the mouth. He was honest about it. He said, where'd the Spirit of God go when it left me? And he said, you'll see. And Ahab said, put him in prison, put him in the inner jail, and feed him bread of sore and water sore. When I return back in peace, I'll deal with this fellow. And Micaiah, knowing he was right with God, why? His vision compared to the Word, he was a prophet. And his spirit and his vision was exactly what the Spirit of Elijah. You see, Elijah spoke according to Moses. See, they'd done gotten idolatry. So God says, you're finished. I'll boost you out of the land. And they rejected Christ. They haven't been back for 2,000 years. But now you see the time for the pendulum to swing back. See, the Word of God is always accurate. So, he was a prophet. He knew what the Elijah had said. And he said, if you return at all, then God hasn't spoken to me. Now I said to this fellow, which was right. The ecumenical council where 400 elected men sat together, elected by man, or the little renegade elected by God. Now you see, God controls every election. Because God's election is based on foreknowledge. See, God knew. Then this Fred said, well, how would you know the difference? And I said, back to the blueprints. How do we know how to build a building unless there's a blueprint? That's foreknowledge, see, that's the word. if they stopped a minute and find out that that prophet Elijah cursed Ahab, he said the dogs would lick his blood, and he did, how could he bless what God had cursed? See, even Balaam knew that. See, how far had this tacky bunch got? They weren't as far as Balaam was. Listen, Balaam, he looked like a crowned virtuous individual alongside of this harem-scarem bunch. See? How can you bless anything God has cursed? Now remember, there is never a curse until blessing is rejected. And all word is a blessing. Now you can make up your mind which way you want to go. Right back to the garden if you want. You see, it starts there. Get out of that thing. Get away from it. Come into Christ. Then the tape stops. So the next tape turned over says, whatever he's saying, prepare it. And the intellectual mind says, that's right. In other words, they prepare something and say, well, we figured this out. This is right. That's where this precious brother was, this man. He said, look here. You know that if all of us would be together as one church, don't you think we'd be better off than scattered the way we are now? Sure, if they all went to God. Or if they all going to hell. See, what if there's two boats back in those days and somebody said, hey, I'll tell you, Noah out here is building a big old ark and I can tell where the animals and things get in, but you know what, look, we ain't dumb. Well, that thing, that thing ain't nothing alongside the side of an oil tanker we can build. We can build us something that makes that old ark look like a scow out there in the Ohio River. We'll build us an ark and it'll go and it'll be huge and we'll get in there. Now, do you think for 1 minute that thing would have survived? How do we know somebody didn't even try it? I don't know. No mention of it. I don't know what people tried. They wouldn't very well try it if there's no rain up there. Of course, anything like that. But what if they did get together? What good are them? God's a separator, see. Now I said, we'd be better off if we weren't scattered. That sounds great, sure. If all got together and listened to the prophet. What if they all get together and don't listen to the prophet? See? Doesn't that sound reasonable? If all Protestant Catholics could get together and come to some mutual ground. Now see, that's a killer right there. But how can two walk unless they be agreed? How can you, when one group here don't believe in healing, the other one says they do believe it, other puts it some time back, some don't even believe the Bible, and put that together, what do you got? God's no author of confusion. Before God could ever set his church in order, they waited 10 days and nights till they all become in one place in one accord. And there come the Holy Spirit for leadership, not some ecumenical council. I hope you're getting this. Now the real church of will is going to be one, we know that. We are one today by spirit. We are one by the word. We have come to that place. Notice, that is the unbeliever unfaithful to the word of God that don't notice what the word said, but notice or takes notice of his own reasonings. That's what Eve did in the first place. She relied upon her reasoning. Now there's two carcasses that the eagles are feeding on. And in the scripture, there's certainly absolutely a dirty eagle, which is the buzzard, and there's a clean eagle, which takes the fresh meat. So they're coming together. And Satan said, now look here, isn't it reasonable? I know the word says what you have just said, but wait a minute. Isn't it reasonable that you'd be better off if you knew right from wrong? Let's go back. Now, we go to Genesis. The second chapter, 16 and 17, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day of the eating thereof, dying thou dost surely die. All right, now what does Satan say? Now, God does know in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now that's exactly right. Because at this time, all they knew was good and all they had was good. Now he said, wouldn't you be better off, he said, reasoning, because this is what it's all about, good and evil, right and wrong. Now wouldn't you be better off if you knew? Now you just tell me how good that worked out. Now that's where the intellectual conception first came in. See? Satan's little trick to get the mind intrigued with an end product that was wrong. I'll tell you why. Because the first product was right. Now here has a fella, he's a bit of an engineer, and he's got this balance wheel and all these cogs and everything running just right, and there isn't a flaw. Everything just chugga 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 perfect. There's no miss. And what does he say? Well, he said, I wonder what it would be like if I just took one of those cogs and broke it out of the gear. We said, merciful God, the guy's a nut. Could be insane. See, you don't mess with something that you already got that's good. Because to change it does not improve it. That's what they did right here. Now, the church has always been that stupid. Oh, the crow and the dove, they pretend that they're in love and they sit upon the same branch as they do. But if I have my way, here's what I'm going to say. Adieu, little crow, adieu. Oh, yeah, I'm not a stand-up comic either. I'm a jackass that sits down. The word would count. Well, said Eve, yeah, yes, and she took it. See? Sure, that's the way they reason. She took a substitute, of course, for the truth. That's what happened. We're, in my books, are not to take a substitute for the truth. Whereby then we would make a move on our own part. Instead of on the part of God. Brother Branham paid a great price, and everybody pays a great price to learn lessons like that. Now, unbelief will always go to reasoning. That's original sin. Unbelief. Always goes to reasoning. But faith won't touch it. In other words, faith will not take what men reason. So that's where they're trying to get me right now and you right now and the fact of the present. Now, we could be wrong. All right. See? Oh, yeah. Wouldn't have been reasonable to our father, which is the father of our faith, Abraham, that we're his children by in Christ, wouldn't it have been reasonable that a woman, 65 years old, and he lived ever since she was a girl, and could not have a baby, and when she's 100 years old or 90, and him 100, and still no baby, wouldn't reason, maybe get some great staff of doctors and scientists to give Sarah an examination, and wouldn't they say, her womb is dried up, milk veins dried over 40 years, that's what they'd say. Her heart couldn't go into labor. Heart wouldn't take it. Why? It's only reason. But Abraham refused it. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief against reason. Now, we've never had the book thrown at us yet concerning the presence. I'm going to tell you something. You're born, but you're not dead. That's a saying an old Scottish lady, Sister Mabon, told me when I was 22 years of age. She said, my father had a saying, you're born, but you're no dead. Which means you're not even dry behind the ears yet when it comes to this message. None of us. The gates of hell is against this. And we have merely felt the most minor waves at this time. Because believe me, when John the Baptist could be shaken and Paul could be shaken, don't think for 1 minute you and I can't be shaken. But if it's a God, and it is, it won't go down. Brother Branham said, the boat stabilized, she'll crest every wave. But he didn't say there'd be no waves to crest. All right. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. In other words, through reasoning. No matter what it was, for he had counted God able to perform everything that God said he would do. Now, let's get back here to the fourth chapter of Romans. I'm going to try to finish this tonight. Maybe longer than I want to be, but we're going to do our best to get through all the the whole message. I might just read a lot. Not comment much. Now, Abraham, this is, we're children. For the promise that Abraham should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. I wish people would read that the way it's written. Faith and law are direct opposites. Promise and law are direct opposites. Faith and promise go together. Law and works go together. And sin. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Now, they don't like that, but it's true. The law has been moved, and that's the Ten Commandments. That which was against it is the moral law. If the moral law has been moved, then there isn't a transgression. In other words, you didn't do it in the first place. See? Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure at all. Now, notice, therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace. In other words, what God gives can only be fulfilled by grace. By faith, rather, because grace is giving. In other words, you just believe it, you get it. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is the law, but that also which the faith of Abraham is the father of all. As is written, I made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which are not as though they were. Now notice that's God. You notice the two things about God. You have got to be completely dead to everything but God. Then you get quickened. And you've got to learn that God calls things which are not as though they were, and you've got to learn to speak his language. Who, when hope was gone, hoped on in faith, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. In other words, when there wasn't any evidence or any possibility of any evidence that he would be the father of nations, he said, I absolutely am the father of nations. See? And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. That's reasoning, you see, is put to one side. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. That's other reasoning put to one side. For a while he accepted the deadness of Sarah's womb, and he took Hagar, and that messed things up but good. See, every time you make a step against faith, the revealed word, you mess up and mess up everything about you. See? He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. How do you give glory to God? Just by not going to reasoning, which is unbelief, and being fully persuaded. Now watch, full persuasion comes after a certain length of time. A lot of people say, well now, I can see a certain thing, and I begin to get a glimmer of faith in this area, but I haven't got to yet. Well, hang on. The full persuasion of faith only came to Abraham after over 20 years of struggling. He struggled all that time. Moses the same way. There is a struggle going on. The struggle started in June the 11th, 1933. It accelerated May the 26th, 1946. It went into full and complete gear, 1963. And the bomb dropped in 1965 when the seventh seal was made public, released to the public, which was in three parts, shout, voice, and trumpet. You do what you want with what I believe. I stand with what I believe. I don't try to persuade anybody. I teach it. You do what you want with it, because that's just the way it goes. All right. Notice, full persuasion was counted for righteousness. When does the church get full persuasion? Revelation 22 and 10. Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. What was sealed up in Revelation 10 and 4 is loosed. He that is unjust still. He that is filthy still. He that is righteous still. There you are. That's in this hour. Right. The hour of the Exodus, which is the hour of the rapture. You understand? All right. Now, where are the children of Abraham this morning? You ministers that are afraid, pray to your bread and water on the street. If you leave Babylon, where is your faith? David said, I was young once, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. Don't be afraid. Stay true to Christ. But unbelief will catch reason. She's got to go somewhere. soon as you leave God, you go somewhere. That's what did it. Now you get it. Unbelief relies on reason. Present day things. What present day things? If Abraham would have looked at Sarah, he said, forget it. Faith won't do that. Faith looks at the Word. But faith places itself upon the unmovable rock, God's eternal Word. And of course we know what that rock is. It's truth. See? That is why we need a prophet. Amen. Faith don't look at reasoning. I don't care how much you can show it would be better. If the Word says no, faith rests there. See, that Sarah said, well, you better have Hagar. Abraham, if he had the proper faith, if his faith would have been what it was later, God brought him back to it anyway. See, God always, people, Christians say, well, I'll tell you, God will always bring you back. God will always bring you back. God will always bring you back. You say, what about this age? God going to bring us back to the truth? Oh, well, that's different. All things remain. Since the Father fell asleep, no difference. We don't need a prophet. We got God. Hallelujah. There's no such thing as the Word coming in certain sections. There's no such thing coming in parts. That's why the man said he got all mixed up and he said, that which in part has not been done away. Perfect love hasn't come yet because people are prophesying. What does the gift of prophecy got to do with the Word of Almighty God? Hogwash. Balaams can prophesy. I mean, I just don't understand people. Well, they don't understand me, so that's fine. Now, what you'd ask? He said here, faith. God's Word said no faith rests there. That is the sanctuary of faith's resting place. In other words, if a person doesn't want to get storm-tossed, you've got to go to the Word. And when the Word of the prophet came, you stay with it. I want to ask you Lutherans this morning, you Baptists, you Catholics, whatever you are, denomination people around the world, how can you place your faith upon your denomination when it's contrary to the Word? What kind of faith you got? See? Now notice this. Not only do these people have an unrevealed Word in the denominations, but they actually have a denial of the Word. See? That's what's bad. Now he said, what kind of faith you got? You got reasoning power and not faith, though they think it's faith, see? For faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the ecumenical council? Could you ever say that? You might get that in the old lady's birthday almanac, but you never find that in God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now remember, he's talking about this hour, which is proven, not speculated, at this time. Tell me that one man can speak anything contrary to that and say it's the Word of God, when heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word shall not. Faith finds the Word, hits sanctuary, a rest. Now remember, we are in the day of rest. It moves right upon the top of that eternal rock, Jesus Christ, the Word, and lays down there and rests. Now he's talking about the Exodus and the rapture. Let the winds howl, the storm shake, she's safe evermore. She rests right on that Word. That's where faith, genuine Christian faith rests. Resting place is the Word. For it knows that God will ever prove himself superior over every one of his enemies. That's why the gates of hell won't conquer. No matter how bad it looks or how the enemies come in, how it looks like you're defeated, faith still knows. Now remember, he's talking about a battle going on, and the cup of the Amorites has not yet filled up. And in the filling up, it's got to turn on a bride. Remember, the people that are authority now will be dying off the same as our people are dying off. And you will have a crasser, cruder bunch of ignorant hopheads, drug heads, booze heads, a litter to everything of God, spawned from hell running things. Now, don't look for a nice time, because you're not going to get it. But you'll get out of here before the worst part of it. Now, you've got to run your parallel, brother, sister. I wouldn't be a faithful minister if I didn't run the parallel, because Brother Branham run a parallel. And the rapture and the Exodus is the same thing. See? Now, right now, the Catholic Church will get up and say, go and hear Billy Graham, and you'll come back a better Catholic. That's exactly right. You say, now, hold it. Don't you tell me to hold anything, because Billy and Oral, with the Word of the cross, are blinding the people. And blind people can get lit anywhere. Because they've got to be led. Now, I said, you sick people, I'd like to drive this home. When you catch that faith that you're going to be healed, every circumstance, everything else, all signs, all symptoms can point you're dying, you'll never move. You'll just say, I'm going to get better in it. Like Abraham. Its resting place is the sanctuary of God's Word when faith, genuine faith, sets itself there. Not make-believe now, but faith. Not hope, but faith. Hope out there hoping it was in. Faith is already in, looking out and saying, it's done. Now you, remember, he's talking about the rapture. He's talking about the Exodus. He's illustrating. That's faith. See, that's why they don't understand what we say we're in the rapture already. We're in the ushering into the millennium. We're into the seventh seal. We're on our way. And they say, now hold it. Now look, I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. This is a very tricky thing to sit in a car, a railway car, a passenger railway car, at a railway station, and another train go by, and you will swear that you are moving. I hope there's none of that amongst us here, that we're really in, that our train is moving. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's easier to get caught by a spirit that's going on. And you can be fooled. And that's what happened in this age, because the spirit of deceit is amongst us, and God himself turned loose. You say, not God. Yes, God. When they wanted Ahab to get plucked, because he was a chicken, not an eagle, God let loose a lying spirit to come on down. And believe me, the church is going to be plucked and revealed for the new chicken she is. She is not an eagle. She'll lose every one of her feathers. You watch and see. Yep. Now, faith is in there. See? It's in there. Nothing can take it from you. Faith has a resting place, for it knows that God will never, never let the enemy ride over the top of it. He never has. Faith knows that so regardless of the what the things look and the way they look. See? So then, of course, it is true that when the bride is truly in, she knows it. And she can look out. But she knows she's in. One of the surest signs in is that persecution rising, which is more or less harping at this point, barking, but you wait later on, it won't be a bark. Noah knew that ark would float, certainly did. Daniel knew that God would close the lion's mouth. Hebrew children knew God would stop the fire. Jesus knew God would raise it up again, because the word said, I'll not leave his soul in hell, nor suffer the Holy One to see corruption. He knew corruption was set in 72 hours, and he said, within 3 days I'll rise again. See? It took its eternal resting place in the sanctuary of God's Word. There it stood, sure, because it came out of it. You know, let's face it. We're living right by the same life we were born with as it came out of the womb. We're not living with another life. Well, you say, I've been born again. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what you are right here. Well, if faith comes out of the Word, then it's got to go back to the Word. The very nourishment you and I had to have as babies, all the elements, the vitamins, minerals, we're living by the same thing today. The very word that creates is the very word that everything exists by. See, then how in the world can people leave the Word and not have left the faith? How can a person be in the Word and not be in the faith? See, just, you've got to begin to see these things. See, it took its eternal resting place in the sanctuary of God's Word, and there it stood. So it does the same thing today, because there's no change in either God the way he does it. Reason will try its best to recognize, you know, something out there. This system's bound to be better. This is that. It looks better because you're looking with intellectual mind. You can prove reasonings, but you can't prove faith, because if you could prove it, it's no longer faith. Now see, you can prove reasonings, he says. But you can't prove faith. Because if you could prove it, it's no longer faith. So I say, I can't prove anything. Well, I can tell you Fat Brother Branham didn't prove anything. And I can tell you God never proved anything. Well, you say God can prove. You've got to be sick, because God didn't prove a thing to the devil. God will bring his word to pass. The elect will catch it. And they'll catch it more than one way, too. Don't worry. The unelect out there will be glad to clobber us every single time. But faith knows only the word and the promise. And it looks to that thing that you do not see. Abraham looked for a city. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't reason. I can't prove how it'll be done. I don't know how it's going to be done. I don't know it, but I believe it. What's he talking about? Exodus, this hour of the rapture. He said in the rapture that we don't know how he's going to do it. What does he mean by that? He didn't say the mechanics weren't sent out there before us. He didn't know just how it would happen. If he could have told us how it would happen, the devil would know. Then watch things not happen. I'll talk on that one Sunday morning before I get the seventh seal, this rapture and the seventh seal. And I'll try to explain these things. But I can't tell you. There's no way. No, I look it. Oh, well, it's all right. I know that's so. Because God said so. That settles it. Shout, voice, trumpet. That's the reason I know this is right. In other words, a true revelation will get you there. See? Man that calls this the puke doctrine, he wrote me a letter. He let me know that he got a little notice that we were going to have a meeting in Memphis. He said, you're going to have a meeting. So he canceled his. I wrote and said, I'm not having a meeting in Memphis. It's not mine. I'm just one of the speakers. So why bother canceling yours? He came out and spoke in Seattle. I said, Memphis is a long way from Seattle. We don't expect people to come that distance. I said, furthermore, you've got something wrong here. You said I have a revelation on the revelation. I said, you're wrong. I don't have a revelation on the revelation. I have an understanding of the revelation.
Amen. Praise God.
See? And I said, well, we won't be preaching puke and blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. But you say, Brother Bailey, you shouldn't write like that. I write like that. I'm not interested anymore. See, I'm a fatalist. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. There's no turning back. What can I turn back on? Abraham came to a place of conviction. Full persuasion. So it's all over. I can't explain anything. I can't teach anybody. But I can show you that no two people can sit together and figure anything out. And no one person can start anything, and the whole church take over, and it's of God. It's a lie. It's not of God. The only place it ever happened was 120 at Pentecost. And they sat there waiting, and God did something for the 120. I mean, they were there. At the end time, there'll be a scattered bride around the world, and God will do something for her and pick her up and get her out of here. So you see, I'm not going the route that these other preachers are gone. We'll talk about that too, maybe. Now he said, I know the word's right. I know the message is right. That's the starting point. That's the whole point. If you're off there, you're off everything. Because if you're off the word, you're off, period. For it's the word. And I see the living God moving among it to prove it. See? Now he's talking about the rapture. Now we saw it proved, but others didn't. There's books being written right now against it. We're at Exodus. We're at an Exodus, a rapture. Certainly true. Even death itself can't shake faith. What faith? The faith of the rapture. A man come by here and he said, well, if you die, you're not bright. Oh, come on, let's see Brother Branham said. A man can stand right in the death, right in the face of death, and shout the victory of the resurrection.
Amen.
So we can die in this hour. Now, Brother Branham said, shout the victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, death, where is thy victory?
Right.
That's part of the rapture message.
Amen.
How can a man come by and say, if you die, you're not bright? I can say he better watch his tongue. Right in the face of death and shout the victory of the resurrection. Then he quotes, oh, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? That's 1 Corinthians 15:54 in there, somewhere there. Because Christ raised up, and those that are in Christ will come forth with him at his coming. See, can't change. Now, he said he's coming. Well, has he come or not? Sets himself in the church to raise the dead. Well, the church is not in heaven. And he's not with the church. If you believe Brother Branham, he stood there and he said, I want to see him. He said, you can't see him. So, all right. Now, the living down here is what he's dealing with. Now, see, can't change. Faith makes the Word of God its sanctuary of its eternal rest. In other words, sanctuary is like we're in a sanctuary here, a place of worship, a place of communion. It lays in the Word of God. Notice again, the king, the new king that raised up, didn't know Joseph. All right? Ramses didn't know Moses either. He didn't want to know him, what it was, thing to do with him. What was his first scheme to destroy the power of Israel? Was with their children. Is that right? He tried to destroy the children. Listen close. The same devil in different form of kingship tried to destroy God's only son. See, getting rid of the children first before they get a start. The devil is a really smart, shrewd bird. He knows how to hit the thing before it gets started. He knows it. See, the only thing that you can ever do to beat him is rely on Christ and humble yourself and let Christ lead you. You'll never do it any other way. Your intellectual powers will never do it. You've got to believe it and just rely on him. He's the shepherd. It isn't the sheep's business to keep the wolf away. It's the shepherd's business. But the sheep must stay with the shepherd in order to be saved. What's a shepherd? The spirit that stays with the word, not the spirit that leaves the word. That's false. See. That's my safety zone is in Christ. And Christ is the Word, and that's the safety zone. Notice the devil in the form of Ramses the king. Now remember, he was talking about Mr. Kennedy over here in America, right? So don't ever get that out of your mind. See, America is in this sermon. The first thing he did was get rid of the children with a natural death. And as soon as the Son of God was born, he moved from Egypt because God destroyed Egypt, cursed, and never came back since. Then he was in Rome. Satan moved his seat to Rome. And the first thing Rome did was to destroy it all, to be sure. The devil in that Roman system tried to destroy what? The Son of God. In other words, Rome was over Israel, and that man Herod, with Roman authority, tried to destroy the seed. Spirit, natural death. Today it's the same thing, under the sign of a spirit. Now religious, professing Christianity, and taking our girls, marrying the Catholic boys, and bring them and their children Catholic to break the power of the other side. Mingling their seed. There's your demon. There's your devil seed on seven hills, wearing triple crowns. Just as slick and cunning and smart intellectual like the serpent, the seed of the serpent, his children. Using the same intellectual techniques. That's your great battle being fought. Now notice, he kills the children this hour with intellectualism, the creeds and dogmas. Look, then they kill the children of the other two times. That's back in Moses and Herod's time. They kill the children of what? Two times. Remember, there are three times. That's always in threes. He killed the children the first two times and after death. And this last time, he gets the children and killing them a spiritual death, marrying and intermarrying. Didn't Daniel say the same thing in this kingdom of iron and clay? One, they'd mingle the seed trying to break the power of the other people, and that's what they're doing. You see? And right today, they've got the places where as long as you're baptized in the Trinitarian baptism, you can be married before the altar. They say, get married. You're Roman Catholics. You're just like us. We've got the same baptism. So there they got more Ribeiro. What are the Protestants are sucked in? You talk about a bunch of jerks. Mingle their seed. That's what they're doing. Till they got the same thing, now they got a present. That was Kennedy. Number two, the next thing, now watch, you have to do is put the cardinal in. Now who are they saying is the man that could be Pope from America? Bernardine. Yep, right now in Chicago. That's the paper just came out from Dayton last Sunday. There's an article on it there. All right? Now, of course, we know the cardinal usually becomes a pope. It isn't possible. I mean, it's not impossible for a bishop to become one. We know that. That's Catholic dogma. They stick with it. But it's usually a cardinal. And now he says here that now he lets you know there'll be a cardinal or some prelate from America. Then they put, number three, they put the cabinet in. What are you going to do? It could also mean, will the government in America be run by a Roman Catholic prelate? Why not? Why not? They run them by once Kennedy in there once. And where they say Al Smith was a credit to Catholicism, Kennedy was a renegade. So the more renegade, the better, I guess. Now, marry your daughters marry your sons, raise your children, Catholic, exactly, kills them with spiritual death. Remember, the last plague is organization. Remember, Jezebel and Ahab got married. Now, didn't the Bible say he would throw in a bed of worldliness and kill her children's spiritual death, Revelation 17? It's always the Word. I don't care where he goes the Word. It has to fit the right picture. If it don't, it's not the Word. It's not the Word. If you can't make it go all the way through the Bible, then it's wrong. Look, during this time, God was training his servant for his work. Training him out of their sight, out of their plans, their schemes. Are you catching it? Out of their organizational systems, God was training a man for his purpose. He just let it keep going on. Now, what's he talking about? Himself. Okay, where did that come from? Page 26. Over here. Now, you see today, he's trying to get one man. He can get his hand. That'll tell the truth. That will be fearless with it. That won't pull no punches. That won't be, that will not be dogmatic. In other words, full of creeds and dogmas. That's what he meant. Dogmatic is not that really term. To be a dogmatic person is to, you know, you can't argue with him. And which is true, you can't. But he said it won't be dogmatic. I think he means here that he won't be filled with the dogmas of the world. One man that he can hold in his hand and show his word alive and show himself alive. I believe he can really get such a person. I do. I believe it. I just believe the Bible enough to believe that. He could get it. That's right. They would tell the truth. He's talking about himself. All right? Now, God's training a man. And that man will not get his training with the others. He'll be a loner. All right? Let him, Moses, marry and have his wife and children. One child called Gershom. Let William Branham marry too. He's living a pretty good life, blessing him out there, but all the time getting him ready, training. God... And his enemy did the natural thing, just like God and his enemy is doing in the spiritual now. Now, they killed them with natural death then, now with spiritual death. God was getting a natural man ready, his prophet, to go down to Egypt. And Satan was getting a Ramses ready, his natural man, getting a natural man ready. What? To kill off or unite all the Egyptians and Hebrews together and make them Pharaoh's servants. Now, who's been doing that? Duplessis. David Duplessis, the Pentecostal, still living, to my knowledge, raised up the same time Brother Branham, still on the scene. And he's responsible for bringing the Roman Catholics and the Protestants together. And Bishop Stanley, confronted by a brother in Roger Smith's church, and I'd like Roger sometime to tell you the exact words that were used. Stanley was the bishop who was there when his sister interpreted. It's a message, it's a message, it's a message. And Bishop Stanley said, my son, take my Bible. Hold steady. And let him know positively as a Roman Catholic that something is here in the Pentecostal Mr. Day when Roger Smith's young friend, led by the Lord, word by word, talked to Bishop Stanley. Bishop Stanley said the exact words back, my son, why do you ask this question? That was the key. He sat right beside the man. And when he mentioned Brother Branham, the man grew infuriated. And he said, William Branham was wrong. And he said, my ministry is to bring the Protestants back to the Catholics. So you can think what you want. So you better start looking around and realize that you don't have to wait for the Roman Catholic prelate to take over before you're already gone. They're already gone. You see? That's why it's so hard for the mind to reason against the educational system that can prove its points. That's right. Mind will always go to education. Intellectuals and reasoning mind won't even see it. They won't realize the face of the man once it reaches its apex, which it did, is gone. Goes to seed. Brother, sister, let me just look at. Brother Branham hadn't died. I don't know that he was even living in Tucson or just moved out there. He just moved out, I guess. Remember, he didn't live there very long. And already, I think he said that they'd already got, 88 or God knows how many, 70 some, or I don't know. interpretation of his ministry already. Now, with him off the scene, what do you think the mind of man has gone to on this message right now? Did you see Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments? I guess many of you did. Well, I finally went to see it. And then I said to the church, if you want it, it's all right. It's a good picture. There it was, lovely, beautiful, how that, the trick of the devil, how sly he was in there. How he moved to kill those children, and how the intellectual mind picked it up and believed it because they could see it was reasonable. Oh, how God was all the time training his prophet, and how Egypt was in training in politics. Now notice what's going on. The prophet is trained spiritually. The bride will be in the same spiritual practice. The rest will be in politics. Now come on. You've heard me spilling up beans over this pulpit to know what's going on amongst the ministers. If you can't see politics, well, look, I've been preaching too long here. It's time to take a big, long vacation. I'll see you in the millennium. I'm not even interested. If you can't see politics and people come to you, why do you think I'm not interested in going to meetings anymore, even leaving here? It's not because I think you're so beautiful. I just want to look at you. Now, you are beautiful. You're lovely. Thank you for the gift. Nice birth and everything else. I appreciate it very much. But look, that won't hold me here for 15 seconds. See, that's not it at all. It's because of what's out there. I'm not interested. It's down to the fact of where, look, I don't have anything out there. Where to run? Where to go? Well, you say you go someplace. You know where I go? Buffalo. I wouldn't even go to Toronto. Why? Because I've been to Buffalo for years with no pastor up there. Otherwise, I'm not interested. How many times have I been to Lee Miller's church? Figure that one out. It's over a year, isn't it? In the baptismal service. See, why? What's to go? See? Oh, how God all the time training his prophet, training a bride, in spiritual things. Never mind the politics. Ramses going to take over. Then the great contest came one day between intellectual and spiritual power. And Ramses, with all his gods, is standing out there pouring water in to bless the god of the Nile. God struck him and blood flew out of him. Oh, I thought it was striking. See what took place. And he's talking about the picture show. Oh, now watch. Intellectual will always go to reasoning. And he can't see the spiritual side because it's intellectual. Oh, neither could any other time. They can't see it now. But there again, you see, God doesn't have... What did God ever prove to anybody? What did Jesus ever prove? I like what Woody Allen said. Jesus was an underachiever. I've always said that, but I didn't use those words. I like those words better than mine because he's a smart fellow. William Branham is an underachiever. In what light? The light of the church. If you've got a gift of healing, use it. I'm blind. I need help. Get the scales out of my eyes. I want to see. Haven't you got compassion? Well, he said, no, I got to hear from God because maybe God put that on you. Oh, man, I don't believe that. Intellectual mind. But listen, if you ever get a revelation, oh, that's, who cares about the rest? I don't care how intellectual is, or how honey is honey, or how devil is devil. When I go God, I got no problems. Sure, when I know how God is God, I got no problems. When I know how bride is bride, I got no problems. When I know how word is word, how presence is presence, what do you give her in? Well, you don't just fly apart and be a nut. But neither do you, you know, sit around as though, hey, I'm, you know, some poker faced God knows what. Even if you wonder if God would know. Intellectuals reason, they couldn't see the days of Elijah. How could this old fuzzy faced prophet, God forgive me saying a thing like that, but just to make it a little ridiculous so you can see the spirit. Paul said, I never came speaking twice in words of wisdom, for your minds would drift off to wisdom. I've come in the power of the Spirit here, that your hope and trust would rest not in the wisdom of man, but the resurrection power of Jesus. So that's what Elijah was like. That's why I'm making this ridiculous, calling the prophet, the great godly prophet, a fuzzy face, because he might have been an awful looking thing to stand up there beside a well-dressed priest, a man that called himself a holy man of God. And you can see the holiness of that priest in the intellectual mind. They always see that. You know, stand and pronounce your words just right. My pulpit deportment is not only bizarre, it's vulgar. And I'm hated for it. And the more I'm hated, the more amused I get until I lay it on more and more. Then I like to stand back and watch the liars lie. At least I don't lie to you. At least I'm not a liar. If I tell a lie, it's inadvertent because if somebody told me a thing and I believed it. But men deliberately lying. Look, brother, sister, I'm going to tell you something. I think I know this word. And I know the author of this word. And you'll never convince me that a man full of the Holy Ghost is a liar. No way. Because all liars have their place in the lake of fire. We're getting there very rapidly. Deliberate lies that people make up. It won't do. Now, you can see the turban on his head. Turned around, at the collars, you see. Ephod lay in his bosom. The anointing oil, natural. Upon his beard, running to hems his skirt, you know, like with the anointed old Aaron. You can see the sacrificial fires burning. All rituals in due order. Now, what would the, now that, that's what the natural mind would have gone to. That's what they're trying to do today. You know, a liturgy. The eye, the gate to the soul, but you see the spiritual eye back in that eye. Now, you see, that's what Ephesians says. The eyes of the heart being illuminated. You know, I could stand here and attempt to describe. And I might describe in such a way that Satan, hearing me, would know what I'm saying, the same as you would know what I'm saying, to a good degree. But there's no way I can tell you how it comes. So how in the world can Satan ever do anything about this, what's going on? Because nobody knows how it comes. Now, we know what started it, and we know in the sense of what is going on, that it's of God, but it's all of God, and there's a secret lying in there that no one can bring up because nobody has any idea of how it comes. No, the Word of God distinctly says that no man knows the day and the hour. Did William Branham or anybody know the day and the hour that pillar of fire came down? People saw it? No way. They might have looked at their watches too late. That is knowledge after the fact, not before the fact. What about the handwriting? What about the angel visiting Brother Branham, May the 26th, 1946? Did he know that was going to happen? Well, somebody said, well, the thing is, you see, the prophet, he made up his mind to know something. I'm going to tell you something. You can make up your mind to know anything, but if God is not in it, you will not know it. And the time that you thought you made up your mind to really know something and God answered, it was God forcing you to get to that place. I know what I'm talking about. And I'm not even a prophet. See? The eye, the gate to the soul, but you see the spiritual eye back in that eye. The Holy Ghost down in the soul, right down there, illuminating. They looked at this old fuzzy looking man, hair in his chest and great big sheepskin wrapped around him, made of leather, girdle over his loins, probably barefoot, old skinny old arms, meat hanging down, you know, because he's old, you know, the flesh gets flabby, crooked stick in his hand, standing, but the spiritual eye could see the power of God moving out there because of exactly with the Word. That's the truth. You stick around a prophet, you'll see that. Now what the intellectual sees, what the spiritual eye sees. And the natural eye today sees the Grammar's church. That's what John saw. Beautiful, see. Fellowship of the mayor of the city and what more? Denominations, organization. They fail to see the power of the Holy Spirit when it can raise the dead and heal the sick. They watch Hollywood. They watch the people on the streets. Women today think, why this woman, Susie, she belongs to church. She's got her hair bob, wears makeup, everything like, and everybody in town likes her. I wonder about heaven. When it's contrary to the Word, God can't endorse it. If he would endorse it against himself, he would be denying his own word, and be it known, God will never do that. Though heaven and earth pass away, a bobbed hair woman is a curse in the sight of God, or a woman that put on a garment pertains to man. See, the spiritual eye catches it. They live for the hereafter. In other words, this world is not my home. Abraham looked for a city that had foundations. The natural mind lives to reason the carnal things of the day. Notice, now, God doing this, and yet the people didn't know it. See? They didn't know it. The carnal mind, they saw what was going on with their reasoning. Couldn't get it. God is now calling a spiritual exodus. Now we see it. Where he called a natural exodus for his people, he's calling a spiritual exodus. Now what's that one? Out of the church. Out of Babylon. To his what? His elected. Only to his elected. Why? Because no one else is going to see it. Now notice, Egypt could not see Israel being right. Can't do it. Because that's your intelligence. That's your intellectual. Now that's axiomatic, so you can never force anybody to believe. There's no way. You can't force issues. Though the lamb's blood on the door, and a lintel post, and the things taking place, and God down there, he was down there, moving in his prophet, and taking a man's word. Let him stand up there and take his staff that he was leaning on, reach out to the east and say, let there come flies, blow over the Egyptians. Walk back there and said, everybody said nothing going to happen. And nothing did happen at that point. But a little while, old green fly must have started circling around. After a while, probably 2 pounds per square yard. Then the man spoke into creation. Here was an intellectual Ramses standing there. A very religious man, but against the spirit of the living God. The natural mind could only see Ramses. But the spiritual mind saw the promise and saw it coming to pass. Well, if Joshua and Caleb could call those Amalekites and Hivites and Jebusites as though they weren't there, they were two or three times their size. Natural man at Kadesh Barnea, when the spies and others said, oh, we can't do it there too much. Why, we're like grasshoppers beside them. But Joshua and Caleb saw God's promise, said, we're more than able to do it. Why they were looking, God said, I'll give you the land. So God speaks to people's hearts that just bypass the carnal. The carnal mind don't get it. The spiritual mind picks it up. I'd like to ask you something. Why didn't the Egyptians see these things? Because they're not elected. Now that's a tough one, but I'm sorry. If we're right and people don't see what we see, they're not elected. If they're right and we don't see what they see, we're not elected. It's pretty hard to admit it, but it's the truth. God told Abraham before it happened, your seed will sojourn 400 years, and I'll bring them out. That's the reason they saw it, because they were elected, and they're in the election. Now, God mentioned this 2,000 years ago, His presence. The Son of Man ministry, the rapture, the whole thing is going on. Do they believe it? Well, Israel's elected to see the sign of God. Now, remember, they were elected to see the sign of God, not the signs from God. The world sees the signs from God, but they don't see the sign of God. For instance, that woman at the well one, the sign of the Messiah. He went over that and over that until you bored everybody silly. Wonder why he kept saying it. Because that was the sign.
Amen.
Oh, say, well, I sooner have something else. Well, be my guest. See, natural mind is a stinker. And that's where the real battle of Armageddon is. And a lot of people just don't give Brother Branham credit on that sermon, the greatest battle ever fought, because they don't realize what the mind does. It goes away from the Word and right over to the other thing. Now, you can be a long way in the Word and still miss that one point. That's why you got to be careful. Israel was elected to see the sign of God, not signs from God. And they went out of Egypt where the unbelievers perished. Now, we saw the sign of Messiah indicating and vindicating the word of this hour. All the rest saw was merely signs. And they said, well, hallelujah. And they ran off in the wrong direction. Now, don't you see the spiritual seed today that don't see the intellectual church? It sees the word. And it's been called from those big denominations into the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, is he trying to tell us that presence is William Branham with God in him? Now, hold it. That don't work. Because he's only God when the pillar fires in there. As soon as the word's gone out of him, he's just William Branham again. You can't go past Moses. Now, was that clear? Did you get it? All right, we'll go further. Now, he's talking about the rapture, remember? Now, the elected only, doctor, PhD, and never saw it. They were not elected. Remember, this election that's coming now is just not, it's not going to another nation. It's going to glory. See, in other words, it's not going to meet you into Palestine, it's going into glory. Where their names wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not under the natural little lamb that brought them out of Israel out of Egypt, that they could backslide and go back there, but this can't. This is under the blood of the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world, and their names put on the Book of Life before the foundation of the world. They're in there elected, and when that light flashes over them like that, that denominational wall drops away from them, and here they come. Now, the denominational wall is not Methodist, Baptist, so on. It's what they believe that indicates what they are. A Baptist is what he is because of what he believes. See? So that's why we have these denominations, because they separate on an article of truth. Instead of standing there until God brings the whole truth. Of course, they got to separate because the rest aren't going to go along. See, you can't help it. They're in the elected. Come out from among them, said the Holy Spirit in these last days. Now, you see, the elect are in there, in the unclean church. They got to come out. And I'll be God to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters to me. Now remember, he said, touch not the unclean thing. And the unclean thing is when the seals open and the people are separated. Don't dare go back. How many are going back, see? Now Israel was watching. They knew that God dealt with his prophets. The word came to the prophets. They come to see it, and they saw it. That is, the people saw it was from the prophet. And now the intellectual sign, we see it now, that they're believing on their organization. They're still in their creeds. See? So therefore, now what? The rapture is a creed to the majority. Are they going to make it? No way. Now I know that this sounds harsh, but I'm not God. And I'm not here to answer for God. I'm here to answer to God.
Amen.
This is what he's telling you. If you got a creed, for the rapture, it's not a true revelation, you are not going to be part of it. I'm sorry, but that's it. Why? Because you're looking for the wrong thing. Abraham looked for a city, the right thing. Any creed or dogma destroys the effect of the word of promise concerning the article you're trying to get. Won't work. Jesus said so. Just like Balaam was. They come up on the top of the hill where Israel was. There was Israel, not a nation, just a people, floating around and guilty. And Moab, his brother, the intellectual, organized man, come to the top of the hill with the bishop or the prophet, that he had put up an altar and offered the same sacrifice, but he failed to see the pillar of fire, the smitten rock among Israel. So it is today. The intellectual man was looking at the celebrity standing there. They failed to see the smitten rock. Even the bishop himself failed to see the power of the Holy Spirit and the shout of the king in the camp. They failed to see it. That's the way it is again today. Remember, Exodus and rapture. God is calling his elected people, and they are elected now. And now they are elected for what? For a resurrection. Sure. What kind of signs is he showing them? Resurrection sign. What was he showing then? A delivering sign to deliver them from bondage. A sign of power that could shut the heavens or could blacken the skies. Now, it was a sign then. That was the sign then. Okay. Now, he's showing the power of the resurrection of his son living among them to resurrect them from the grave. The graveyard that we're in. To a land that he promised to us. Resurrection sign. Calling out a spiritual Israel and spiritual Babylon. That's not the dead, that's the living. So he's living amongst us, proving he's here with the sign of the resurrection because it's resurrection time. And that can happen only when Israel's in the homeland. 11th chapter of Romans. We've been to that. Knowing, let me say this quietly now and you'll catch it. Doing it by the same system that he did it at the beginning. Same thing he's doing. Blinding the eyes of the unbeliever, opening the eyes of the believer. Blinding to what? Where they're at. Opening their eyes to what? Where they're at. The hour they're in, and what's here, what's theirs. See, it's all coming in. And notice, politics doing it on the intellectual side. You say, not politics. Yes, organization is politics. Who will we vote over us? Who will we elect? I run across some strange things in this religious game. And I look at some of the men that people put in as their chief this and chief that. And I wonder, where were the Indians? Elected a chief like that. Merciful God. Yay, yay, yay. Blind leaders of the blind. Stupid leaders of the stupid. Yeah. Notice politics doing the intellectual side, politics in church, politics in nations, everything on the other side, hid away from them a spiritual cause. God took one man to get his thoughts across. One man to whom he gave all his thoughts, and that man would bring those thoughts. God took one man in the wilderness, trained him up and brought him back, and took the thing over and brought the people out. See what I mean? He cannot change his program of Exodus and rapture. He's God. He'll never deal with the group he never did. He deals with an individual. And he did and he will. And he promised even in Malachi 4 he'd do it. That's right. Now he brought a people out. That's right. And everything under the seals, which was one man with the thoughts of God, according to the same one man, from with the thoughts of God, said, everything you need to put in the raptures in those seals. And the seventh seal then would have to be opened. Because you couldn't go without it. No way. Oh, they say Brother Branham's coming back. Sure. What's that got to do with it? So there's his promise. What he was. Promised what he said he would do. And here we are. What a people happy we should be. Giving them the sign by his promised word sign. Promised word. He promised he would do it. And he shall restore the faith of the people. The hearts of people back to the faith of original Pentecostal fathers. He promised to do it. Showing his signs. In other words, virgin again. As it was in the days of Sodom, it'll be at the coming of the Son of Man. What kind of sign did the churches see at Sodom? What intellectual churches see? Two preachers. What the spiritual church elected? Abraham and his group. Saw God manifested in a body of flesh, a human flesh, that could discern the spirit and tell what Sarah was saying behind him. As it was in the days of Lot. It'll be in the days, shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. We see the Holy Spirit among us doing the same thing. Now remember, he said concerning the Son of Man, I am not he, and the pillar of fire is not he. It's in the form of the Spirit. See? Working in human flesh. It's the hour, see? We're just here, friends, that's all. The Exodus is on. The rapture is a progress. Well, did he mean it or just say it for fun? But notice, he did it by what? Notice, put your spiritual thinking. May the Holy Spirit just lay back the old cap of indifference now and look close. God ever makes a decision to do anything one way, he can ever change it. In the Garden of Eden, when he wanted to redeem man back to fellowship, he made a decision with the blood. They tried education, denomination, nationalize, everything else, it never works. Only one place God will ever meet with a man that's under the blood, like it was in Eden, never changed. Only place God met in the days of Job was under the sacrificial lamb. Only place he met in the days of Israel under the sacrificial lamb, like he did in the Garden of Eden under the sacrificial lamb. The only place he meets today is not in denominations. They fuss and stew amongst themselves, against one another. Not in churchianity, they still do the same thing. Not in intellectuals, they're all mixed up, but under the blood of the lamb. Every believer can meet with fellowship where the life is. See now, you've got to remember that life was made flesh in order to shed the blood. So, if you want to get back to where he is, you've got to have that, and get that same life, you've got to have the blood, which we do have, which entitles us to the light. God chose in the days of the Exodus. He called out a group out of that group. See, he called a group out of group. I want you to notice something. He only got two that went to the promised land. That's the two that were over 20 years of age. What did he choose? Did he take them out by politics, organization? He chose a prophet with a supernatural sign of the pillar of fire that the people wouldn't be mistaken. What the prophet said was the truth. God came down in a pillar of fire and vindicated himself, showed his word. Is that right? That's what he brought, his first Exodus. His second Exodus, God always goes in threes, perfect in threes. A seven completion, three perfection. First, second, third, told, and so on. Justification, sanctification, baptism, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, so on. Notice, the first Exodus, sent a prophet, anointed with the pillar of fire, and he called the people out. That was the first Exodus. When Israel's time was up, he sent again a God prophet with a pillar of fire. John saw it descend from heaven, like a dove. That was Jesus, of course. And said, I go to God because I come from God. He really meant here, I come from God and I return back to God. After death, resurrection, and resurrection, Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus, saw the same pillar of fire that John saw come down into all Christ. Him being a Hebrew, taught in the Word, said, Lord, who are you? He knew it was the Lord, the pillar of fire. He was a Hebrew. Who are you? Son of Jesus. Second Exodus, he brought anointed prophet, which was his son, God prophet, Moses, said would be a prophet, had a pillar of fire, did the same signs and wonders. The same prophet said, he that believes in me, the works I do shall he do also. And here he promised the same thing in the Exodus in the last days. And he cannot change it. By scientific proof, by the witness of the Spirit, by the works of the Spirit, we see it today. The great pillar of fire moving among us, the signs and wonders of the resurrection of Jesus Christ calling the people from denominationism to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to live, going to land. That's what he said. You should read it again. By scientific proof, by witness of the Spirit, by the works of the Spirit, we see it today, the great pillar of fire moving amongst us. It doesn't say we see the pillar of fire. It says we know he's there by what's going on. And the signs and wonders of the resurrection of Jesus Christ calling the people from denomination into the presence of Jesus Christ to live. That's spiritual resurrection. He called that one. Now, page 39, 2 and 3. Now, so that's the way it is again today. God's calling his elected people. They're elected now. And now they're elected for what? For resurrection. What kind of a sign is he showing them? Resurrection sign. What is he showing then? A delivering sign. A deliverer from bondage. A sign of power that could shut the heavens and could blacken the skies. That was back there. Today, it's not that, because it is not delivering from bondage, it's going into resurrection. Now he's showing us the power of the resurrection of his son living amongst us, living among them, that's us, to resurrect them from the grave. And the graveyard we're in, to a land he promised us, to the resurrection, calling out of spiritual Egypt, calling out of Babylon. All right, now make no mistake, friends, it's not what I'm saying, I'm just your brother. But it's what God proving to you, that makes it the truth. Same pillar of fire he used for the other two, he's brought it among you today and proving it by the scientific. Now, He said, let it be known, I say this quietly, and you'll catch it. Doing it by the same system he did in the beginning. Same thing he's doing. Blinding the eyes of the unbeliever, opening the eyes to the believer. It tells you right there what he's doing. That's what the pillar of fire is doing. God moving, bringing delusion. As you know, Life Magazine, now watch now, what he says here, proved it by scientific. As you know, what is this, what's he talking about? He's talking what Life Magazine packed, which is what? The cloud of angels. Now watch. How many here heard me tell about what happened before? It did. I think everyone in the church, there it is. They don't know what it's all about. The scientists are trying. Anybody got a picture of it? A cloud 26 miles high in the shape of a pyramid. Seven angels represented in there, brought back. And brought you the word of God under inspiration and tells you these hours that you're coming and living in. That's that spirit in Ephesians. He comes into the church to bring the church in, to let them know the hour they're in and the great mysterious secrets of God that bring about the resurrection, that bring about our change, the rapture. Ephesians 1:15-23, okay? The spiritual mind will pick that right now and get it. It's an exodus. We're going to leave one of these days. We're on our way. See, thanks be to God. Remember now, I'll close the minutes. I got 10. Notice the pillar of fire that called them out, led them out, led them to the promised land under the anointing of a prophet. Now notice pillar of fire and the prophet were both used. A pillar of fire that they could look at led them to the promised land under an anointed prophet. They constantly turned him down. Is that right? All right, watch it. We're calling out. Come out of Babylon, my people, said the angel's voice. What angel? William Branham. Come out of my people. Out of what? Confusion. How much confusion amongst us today? Not very many stand unconfused. They haven't come to the place where they know what's going on. They're satisfied. Oh, look down the road, some great thing. Oh, look back, some great thing. How many have entered in to arrest? You're not going to find very many. Is the Methodist right? Or the Baptist, the Catholic, come out of it. God is right. How do you know? That every man's be a word, let every man's word be alive, but mind the truth. Come out of it. What do you know? Same pillar of fire, same anointing spirit, leading to the promised land. Notice, led them, brought them out, led them to the promised land. Now remember, he's talking about the pillar of fire taking us to the promised land. This is a rapture. Notice, led them out, led them, brought them out, led them to the promised land. Israel, the nation, the same God, same pillar of fire. Only. They say that camera, when you read George G. Lacey, J. Lacey, not me now, you read where George Lacey examined the picture, head of the FBI, there's his statement, someone says a double lens exposed it. Well, now, after his death, burial, and resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit, Paul on the road, which was Saul to Damascus, struck down by pillar of fire, the Logos, that Jew never would have called the pillar of fire Lord unless he knew it was the same Logos. His people followed through in us. See, now that was not the Son of Man. That was a Logos. Now we say with reverence, love, and respect, as Jesus Christ in his day and forever, and also that in the last days, as it was before Lot's time, or in Lot's time in Sodom, so shall it be, and the day the Son of Man reveals himself again. What? Same pillar of fire, same thing. See? Revealing himself. Now in the last days of Logos, it was upon Jesus, which has come back from that, from Jesus, back to the pillar of fire again, and descended down on the earth. And now that great pillar of fire, absolutely identified, even by scientific cameras, here on the earth today, there's a picture of it hanging there, taken right down here in the auditorium, Houston. Scientifically proven by the best we got. Lacey said, I call it psychology, Irwin Bannon, but the light struck the lens. It's not psychology. The camera won't take psychology. See, there you are. Okay. Tens of thousands of people looked at it with their own eyes, that picture. We stood here and looked at it. You've looked at it. They said it's optical illusion. It's not. Mechanical eye, the camera won't take psychology. Wasn't no optical illusion. Same pillar of fire. Oh, they said that was illusion. Now listen. Now cameras all. Now watch what he said about cameras taking pictures. For in hundreds of, within 100 miles of Tucson, 6 months before it happened, we were told by the Holy Spirit, I would be going there to pick up the news because the pyramid writing on the outside, as the brother had the dream and interpreted, that's the entire interpretation. Now, what he said about Junior Jackson's dream of interpreting what was not written inside, but to be brought back to look at it so he would reveal it, and this pyramid of the angels were the ones that were literally doing it using his voice, that and that alone is the interpretation of that vision or dream. So don't try to take it someplace else. Now, all the mysteries of justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost are done explained. Now, picking up the loose ends. Now, listen. Of that which is concealed in the seven seals, not the churches now. They never had the mystery of the rapture, the resurrection, those things. The seven seals revealed the mysteries. Then he opened this thing up at the top and found the rock in there, white, but it had never been wrote on. Is a mystery. What was that? That's your seventh seal. Wasn't written down. Go to Tucson. Foretell it before it happened. Stand north of Tucson. Witnesses here saw it. When a blast came, shook the mountains off the ground almost. At the same time, a circle light hanging on in the air when the scientist took the picture, 26 miles high. Now, he's telling you the same thing. The scientific camera is catching the Exodus. See? This is related to the pillar of fire. It was not the pillar of fire now, per se, that was caught. It's the actual revelation that the pillar of fire itself brought, but in these seven messengers. Because Brother Branham said the Holy Spirit swept in the room, and he said it's been those seven messengers, so it was embodiments. Seven spirits before the throne. It shall be light about the evening time. The path of glory is surely fine. If you're elected, that seed falls upon dry ground or upon rocks, and it'll never do nothing. Hard, stony hearts that want to be indifferent. But if it'll fall upon the soft, mellow ground of faith, it'll bring forth a Christian bearing fruits of the Spirit. Notice how that God did that. Now he's got the same pillar of fire that's vindicated. Somebody said, why don't you tell them scientists that? Now hold it. He talked to a scientist in George Lacey. What's he talking about? The cloud of angels. Now watch what he calls it. Exodus. Say, why don't you tell scientists? Do you think they believe that? Cast not your pearl before swine. Jesus said not to. I have no leadings to do it. Yet living right in the city there, where they were calling for it, I thought it'd go down. The Holy Spirit said, stay away. It's not to them. Go back and tell the tabernacle. Now, that's not Houston. That's Tucson. Out there in Arizona. What's he called? A pillar of fire. Camera taking the same God doing it. The same way. All right, it'll come to pass. If what they say comes to pass, remember I've spoken. That's Deuteronomy chapter 18 about the prophet. If he says it, you listen to him. Before it happens, there it happens. Also Amos. Listen to the Bible. It's the voice of God calling you today. I want you to notice, this same pillar of fire is leading the people again to the promised land, the millennium. This same pillar of fire is leading the people again to a promised land, the millennium. Now, we're not there yet. You can't get by it. Same pillar of fire, leading the people again to a promised land, the millennium, where we found under inspiration of the sixth seal that's never been taught before, how the earth has to be purified for the millennium. Now, that's not dissolution. First, dissolving it. That'll be reconditioning at that time. The pillar of fire is leading them to a millennium. And notice, the pillar of fire that led Israel from bondage in the Exodus, the pillar of fire under the headship of God, God was the fire, and the pillar of fire only anointed the prophet. See, the pillar of fire was to stand as a heavenly witness that Moses was called out. In other words, they worked in conjunction, but the prophet is not the pillar of fire. He's not God. You remember Dathan then said, well, we ought to start an organization. Moses said, they said to Moses, you take too much upon yourself. You try to say you're the only holy one among us. Now, Brother Branham never did let everybody know that everybody else was a manure head. I'm the guy that lets people know that. Because, you see, I can say it and he couldn't. I'm the only one that could say, and because he would never say, but I can say without fear that William Branham was the only one who had the words of God. Nobody else had them. Everybody else was in a never never land. And there never could be a resurrection and rapture without this. Where somebody had to have it. So God had to have a man that he could train and then he could use. And when he trained him, he would be infallible to God. And therefore infallible to us. People say, well, yeah, that's going too far. Well, I like going far. I don't think I've ever gone far enough. Where have I ever been? Fat. I found most things that they can be so thoroughly enjoyed, and I'm getting such a kick out of this one that nobody's going to take my joy from me. See? Now I said, all the congregation is holy. Oh boy, that's a laugh. How can you take this upon yourself? Moses fell on his face and started weeping. God said, separate yourself from them. I'll just open up yours and swallow them. Tight. What's that? with fire, wasn't it? Tribulation coming? How could Moses told them he was telling them what God had said? God bidding you be the truth. Even Miriam prophesied herself. And Aaron laughed at Moses for marrying at an Ethiopian girl making fun of him. And God got angry. Speak against his servant. What did you do? He called him out the tabernacle door, and Miriam, and yet she was a prophetess, but Moses was more than a prophet, more than a prophet. He said, don't you fear God if there's a prophet among you? I, the Lord, speak with him in visions and make myself known to him in dreams. But Moses said, not so. Don't you fear God? She was half dead with leprosy from that minute. Now you see, the fear of God then is to reverence the truth that a prophet brings forth. See, not make light of it. Didn't he say, John the Baptist, you go to see a prophet? Yes, more than a prophet. Sure, because of what they were actually into in the realm of the association with God. God was right there, see, appearing apparently. Why? He was more than a prophet. He was a messenger of the covenant, the ark that blended the two dispensations together. And today, what we have among us, this great Holy Spirit, is more than a prophet. Oh, he's not calling himself a prophet. It's God manifested with among us with his word to prove it. Does more than a prophet. Thousand times more than prophets do. That's true. God, Brother Brand said God's his own prophet. He certainly is. Just because a prophet says something doesn't bring it to pass. Is God letting the prophet be privy to what is going to come to pass? Anybody ought to know that. Then people get puffed up with some little tiddly-wink thing in their lives, like they speak in tongues and interpret it. Oh, wasn't that great? That was bohemian. And this dear lady understood the bohemian. Oh, I'm something. Fact. Nothing. Blowhard. You know, it's a sign of growing up when you see things the way they are, instead of all this hogwash and claptrap and balderdash and... Come on, let's face it. Elijah, one of the great prophets of the age, not only did four things supernatural in his life of some 80 years. Elisha, a double portion, did eight. And we've seen thousands times thousands with our own eyes. Look at the angel of the Lord in a pillar of fire. Scientific search, taking it to the world, knowing they're going to be judged by it. It's true. They don't recognize it, but they're going to be judged by the very thing that they put their finger on and say, that's right. What did that lamb do? That angel of the Lord, which was Christ. Do you believe it? St. John 6. They're all drinking this water and having a big time rejoicing. He said, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life come down from heaven. I'm that rock in the wilderness. And they said, now we know you're crazy. You're crazy. You've got a devil on you. You're a crazy man with a devil. See, that's worse than being crazy. You know, people get a spirit on them. Sometimes they get very religious, actively religious. They do too. Religious spirits are, oh, they're bad. They said, you're a devil. You've got a devil on you. You're a Samaritan. You've got a devil on you. You're not even more than 50 years old, and you say you saw Abraham? I can see him take a couple steps back. I said, I am that I am. Before Abraham was, I am. That was a burning fire, that pillar of fire in the bush. When he died and rose the third day, Saul met him on the road down there. He was back to pillar of fire. I come from God and I go to God. Peter's in prison. Pillar of fire came down, opened the door. Took him outside, that's right. Where did that pillar of fire lead them? Now remember, Moses was not the pillar of fire. He was the anointed leader under that pillar of fire. Where did that put Brother Branham? And that pillar of fire led them to the land that God promised them. Moses wasn't there to take them in. Where he himself would be made flesh among them someday. That's right, he did. Palestine. Isn't that right? What did they do? Murmured, squirmed. Everything else to show it was under the blood of an ordinary lamb. But this time, glory to God, the pillar of fire that we see among us, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium, where he will return to his people in that great millennium reign after this exodus, where we'll live eternally with him. Let me read that again. But this time, glory to God, the pillar that we see among us, the pillar of fire, will lead us to the millennium, where he will return to his people in that great millennium reign after this exodus. He's telling what's going to take place. We're going to get out of here, then we're going to come back and take it over. Where we'll live eternally with him. There's no separation at that point on. He always has the word of the Father, always proves it right. See, he's talking about the rapture, remember? We are in Exodus, that's the rapture. And in leaving and turning the tapes off in a moment, oh, my friends, my brothers, both present and that will hear the tapes. Let me, as your brother and citizen of the kingdom of God, say, come out in this Exodus. Why should he? Because he's not that angel. Everybody else said the same thing. Come out, don't. Leave the Catholics. Leave the Lutherans. Leave the Wesleyans. Leave the Pentecost. If he's not that angel, he has no business saying it. For all that's left behind will bear the mark of the beast. Come out of Babylon. Come out of this confusion. Come out of these systems and serve the living God. Now, that tells you flat here, there's coming a day when the bride will not have any confusion. She'll come to a course where she said, this is it. Be no speculation. And talking half things. No speculation. Let this great angel of the covenant, Jesus Christ, in the form of God, thought it not robbery to become equal with God. Now he's a pillar of fire in the same form that he was back there, bringing that first Exodus, bringing the second Exodus, and here he is with the third Exodus. And I wonder, is he or is he not? See, that's what I challenged the fellow. I said, why don't you read from 39 to the end of the message on Exodus? I said, he said, the pillar of fire takes us in. Well, he's got to be here to take us in. The first Exodus, what did he do? He brought them out of a natural land to a natural land. Second Exodus, he brought them out of a spiritual condition into a spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, he is bringing them from a spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right back into the eternal land of the millennium and the great hereafter. The same pillar of fire. By the same anointed system. The same God doing the same things. And the same word declared the first one, declared the second one. The same word declared the second one has declared the third one. And here we see it among us. Come out. Come out of all this chaos. Come to the living God. Come to the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And now he's in our flesh and dwelling among us. I put that to be two separate things, not just one. Because he is dwelling amongst us by living in us. But brother, there is no place in my Bible I can find that the fullness of the Godhead is in the body and we act as God. Until that time, I'll never believe statements that are thrown at me. It's all got to line up. Because why would we need a prophet if we already had it? It's not a corporate thing, my brother, my sister. No way. It comes to the corporate, but it comes by an individual. And now he's in our flesh, dwelling amongst us. Come out and serve the living God while we bow our heads. He begins to pray. And he says, and grant, Lord, your eyes reopen that they might see the glory of God. In this last closing hour. What's the glory of God? To come out? Come into resurrection? And to come into the rapture. So there you see that the Exodus is the rapture. There's no difference. A pillar of fire is doing it. Now, why wouldn't people want to recognize the presence? I'd like to know. Oh, they say we do. Do they? How can you recognize and deny it? How can you recognize and put strings on it? So that's the accusation goes out. Now, oh, well, it isn't that we don't believe the presence. It's those other things. What other things? I'd like to know what other things. But they haven't told us yet. But you'll notice how the sweet people, they're always going to back up the liars. I kid you not. Look, we had men right from Africa here. They won't visit me because they got a terrible spirit. If you tell the truth, oh my, haven't you got a good thing to say about anybody? No, except Jesus Christ. And I find him wonderful. Anybody else is just a dumb gluck in my books. I'm the worst of the worst. No, they can be very happy with liars. What did he do with the Apostle Paul when Peter put his monumental boo-boo and stood with James and had Barnabas circumcised of all the stupid things? Paul said, hold it. He hasn't got a thing to do with us. And no Jew any longer. That was a sign pointing. A covenant back there fulfilled in flesh. It's no longer. It's the baptism with the Holy Ghost and that's done away with. And he slapped Peter around real good. Now he said, just a minute, let's get this flat. He said, who sinned, you or God? Now let's bring it right down. I want to ask you a question. Who made those men lie? Did God make those men lie? Then whose side these guys stand with? Well, I'll have my cruddy spirit. I'm glad I got it. If I'm as mean as a snake, I'm glad I got there, too. If it means I got to come out swinging every time, I'll come out swinging. So I'm going to tell you one thing. I would sooner go to hell without lying than go to heaven and be a liar. That doesn't hold water because there's no liars going to be in heaven. There's nobody that tells the truth is going to be in the lake of fire. But it's very strange what organization can do. And they say we're not organized. Oh, yes, my brother. Because when they came out, what they were in never came out of them. Yeah, let's go to Africa. Let's talk about Sidney Jackson. Let's talk about those men. Keep this right on tape. Because I want it on tape. Who stood with Brother Branham in Africa? Nobody. 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 Jackson stood against him. Then he had to apologize. So much for your nice, sweet people. Judgment is stalking the land, Brother Stitchman. The Bible said, if you don't warn them, and he didn't say, sweet, 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 or bad, bad, bad. And he didn't say, nice, 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 or cruddy, cruddy, cruddy. Put me down as cruddy, cruddy, cruddy. But you won't put me down, I haven't warned. As far as I know. I haven't pointed to myself, I've pointed away from myself, always to one thing. Either he is here, or somebody lying. When I stood that sat that day with Brother Branham, when the pillar of fire was writing on the wall, I did not see it, and his wife did not see it. And he said, Lee, do you see it? And I said, no, but I see the man who sees it, and I'm satisfied. And I'm still satisfied.
Amen.
They can do what they want. Let's rise. Heavenly Father, we know that that Mount of Transfiguration, they saw no man save only Jesus Christ. And, oh, Lord, we haven't got that far, but we're getting that far. Because we know we're getting carried higher and higher into the rapture, out of the Exodus we're coming out, out and going into. We know that, Lord. Because we know that that rapture is an Exodus, absolutely, positively. And there'll be an ingress as well as there's an egress. We'll come back and go to the millennium. And we're beginning to see only him who is altogether lovely. And we're very grateful, Lord. We're tremendously grateful. We're so thankful. We praise thee, O God, in the depths of our heart. We are so grateful, Lord. We worship thee and adore thee. May we see thee only, and never anybody but thee. Lord, we know before you could be truly the sacrifice, they stripped you down naked, then they hung you on a cross. We know in this last day there is a naked revelation coming forth. Once more, you have revealed yourself, you have bared yourself, you stood before us with nothing to hide, everything open. The seals opened. As the prophet said, Christ was those seals. Christ revealed. We're grateful, Lord. We're thankful. We cannot thank you enough. Like the old song, my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. We have. We enter into that glory. And it's a glory that never fades. We can't explain the Lord. We don't understand these things. We don't even want to understand them as far as the intellect's concerned. We're just happy to know that we know within the inner man. We don't understand how it comes or how it goes. It's just what you said. The wind blows where it listeth. The Spirit breathes where he will, and you can't tell from whence he's coming, whether he's going. It's all a mystery. So is that one truly born of the Spirit. How can we tell what we can't tell? We can't come under the telescope and the microscope intellectualism Can't come under the computers that break down, analyze, synthesize. Can't do it. But we've caught something. Caught something, Lord, a revelation that begins now to move and move and move. We're caught in the upward swing. Spiritual born, airborne, heaven born. Knowing that cameras and all else testified it, and yet man stands back. Can't do a thing about it. Who can explain it? Nothing to explain. Where are you going to take it? No place to take it, but thank God the inexplicable is going to take us. We're grateful for it, Lord. We're very happy for it all. We marvel at your goodness, your kindness, the wonderment of it. And we're just so, what can we say, Lord, except this rest is coming. This consolation is here. We can't tell it. But deep within the soul, Lord, are the breathing, the sighings, and the praisings. And within the heart, Lord, something bursting forth in an image that identifies and says, I'm going to take that body with me. Body's not going to do it. It's going to be done to it. God, we're thankful for that. Holy Spirit, breathe on us tonight, changing our minds, granting us a repentance we've never known until the repentance we know now becomes as though it were nothing in the light of the great repentance coming, the great changing of the mind. The great looking at the Word, breathing faith, expiring faith, everything, inhaling, exhaling. Everything, Word, 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 until like the very temples moving, the doors, the cherubim, the whole thing moving, moving with the movement of God. Lord, we believe that's the way it is. That's the way it is. It's going to be and going to continue until we're right in there, Lord. We're so grateful. We cannot praise enough, Lord. We love you tonight. In the bottom of our hearts, oh God, we worship thee. We adore thee. Let thy name be magnified. Let it fill the whole earth through a bride, if possible. Out of the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Do you love him? Wonderful person to love. Grace of God beyond degree. It just gets more marvelous all the time. You know, brother, sister, if you don't go by feelings anymore, you go by God. It's wonderful. Feelings are so, they're great, you know, but they're, what are they? So many feelings go by sight. You know, you don't see the snake, so you don't have any feelings. When you see the snake, boy, do you get feelings. Because you see the mind begins to work on you because of analyzing all this. But you see, I don't care, we're to the place where there could be 1,000 snakes and 1,000 pitfalls. It doesn't matter. We're not going by reason. We're not going by feelings anymore. We're going by the Word. I don't know how you feel. I'm trying to express what I know is going on, what is moving, what's happening. And it's different. See, she would say, well, show me something. What can I show you? I've got nothing to show you. I'm getting more gray hairs. I got one of my eyebrows up here. Got a long white hair. I forget to keep pulling it up. My wife might do sometimes. What if I pull it out? It doesn't change anything. I've got a gray hair. I'm not trying to change anything. But something's happened. See? Oh, bless God. Let's sing I Love Him. Go ahead. Let's just worship him.
I love him because he first loved me. And purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Let's just take the name of Jesus with you. And I trust it means more than ever. I just feel the presence of the Lord and God doing everything that he said just marvelously. And I'm so happy with him. I believe he's happy with me too in a certain limited sense of the word. That's all right. I can understand that. And see, if I was he, I wouldn't be too happy with me either. But being me, I'm very happy with him. See, that's the way it is. That's a good marriage. Always a good marriage. Someone's got to have tremendous love, and you know how it is. And The other person's got to be capable of getting it, and he's got tremendous love for me, and I'm capable of absorbing it all. I know I am, because that's the way it's supposed to be. All right? Okay, take the name of Jesus with you.